During my almost 20 years as an admissions consultant, I've had the privilege to meet, host, interview, and get to know many, many admissions directors. One who stands out not only for her knowledge of the admissions process, which is vast, or her generosity with her time, which is impressive, but for her graciousness is Christy St. John. Christy recently joined Vanderbilt University's Owen Graduate School of Management as the Director of Admissions. Previously, she was Senior Associate Director at Tuck School of Business and Director of International Relations at Vanderbilt. Christy has a PhD in French and Italian, which she earned at Vanderbilt. Also joining us today is Sandy Knett, Associate Director of Career Management at the Management Career Center at Owen Graduate School of Management, whom I've just had the privilege of meeting. Welcome both to Sandy and Christy. Welcome to Accepted.com's Admission Straight Talk, our podcast about graduate school admissions. I can think of few people as well qualified as the two of you to be here today, and I'm thrilled that you agreed to join me here. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. Thank you also, listener, for joining Christy and me and Sandy as they educate us about the Owen School of Management and specifically about its specialization in human and organizational performance. Before we dive into the show with its focus on MBA admissions today, the Owen Graduate School of Management and specifically its program in human and organizational performance, I would like to remind you that I value your feedback, especially and without any modesty, any five-star reviews that you may want to leave for Admission Straight Talk in iTunes. If you find the show valuable, please click on over to iTunes at the end of the podcast and share the love, especially since this is Valentine's Week. And even if you don't have five-star reviews, please do provide your thoughts either on iTunes, our blog, or by sending an email to linda@accepted.com. Now, I noticed, Christy and Sandy, that Owen has a rather unusual curriculum structure, a distinctive combination of required core, basically broad management fundamentals in the first year, and a real career focus for the remainder of the curriculum of the first year and the entire second year, with all courses taught in 7-week-long mods or half semesters. In addition, students can earn career specializations, which require 20 credits beyond the core, or consultations, which require 12 credits beyond the core, or emphases, which require 8 credits beyond the core. And these foci of studies are clearly tied to career goals. For example, the specializations are brand management, corporate finance, human and organization performance, investment management, and healthcare. Now, Christy, since admissions is so employment-driven, can you take a moment to talk about top recruiters at Owen? Or actually, this is more for Sandy. I noticed that 27% of graduates go into consulting and 30% go into finance. Which companies are the biggest recruiters at Owen in those fields? We'll also include a link to the Owen Employment Report in the show notes you might want to check out after the podcast. Sandy, what's going on in career management at Owen?
Well, the Career Management Center at Owen is extremely involved, of course, with the students' internship search as well as full-time job search. And really, we're here to be a resource to our students and help in any way we can as they look to either switch careers and using the MBA experience to do so, or to take a next step in a continued career path. So we do a lot of programming and work a lot of one-on-one with students that are in the program. So as far as 27% of graduates go into consulting and 30% go into finance.
Yeah, which do they tend to go to?
Pardon?
Which companies do they tend to go to?
So in consulting, we have a number of consulting management firms, the Deloittes and Capgeminis of the world, KPMG and North Highland. We also have several healthcare consulting firms such as ECG Management Consultants, as well as Accretive Health. There are some other smaller, more boutique consulting firms. C3 Consulting has a big presence on campus. Arrive Consulting out of Seattle. So really a wide range of consulting firms that recruit Vanderbilt MBAs, and you really see a lot of geographic diversity with that as well. And then for finance, you know, we have kind of three different buckets of finance, if you will. We have the corporate finance companies, and we also have private wealth management. So those students are concentrating in finance and going into private wealth management careers, and then also investment banking careers as well. So those are kind of the different larger buckets that we see a lot of students gravitating towards in finance careers. Some of the does that help?
Is that shrinking since the financial crisis, or is it?
I wouldn't say that overall the number of finance students have gotten smaller, but I would say there's been a shift in the number of students pursuing investment banking in particular. That's been more noticeable. So some of those students, I think, are gravitating towards corporate finance roles or consulting roles where they can also leverage some of their finance skills. So there has been some movement away from investment banking.
Okay.
Christy, do you have anything kind of to add about that?
Well, we were very excited about the fact that Bain has come back to us to recruit, and it's obviously one of the top firms as well. We have a very, very strong relationship with Deloitte Consulting and Capgemini, as Sandy mentioned, KPMG and PwC, Kurt Salmon. And again, for the people going into the finance, we're seeing more and more people wanting to go into corporate finance rather than the investment banking. Of course, Barclays, Citi, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, UBS, Wells Fargo, and a local bank called SunTrust. They're still recruiting for it, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, from just anecdotal evidence, I think some of the students have become disillusioned with the world of investment banking, and so they're turning.
Why?
Well, just read the paper. But they still love the numbers. They love being able to work with strategically seeing how a company's going to go forward and with working in mergers and acquisitions and that sort of thing. So we still have a lot of interest in it, and we have a lot
mm-hmm.
of people going into the corporate area. And a lot of times when we have applicants who are switching careers, they oftentimes have to leverage their industry knowledge rather, you know, because they're trying a new functional area. So we've got a lot of people who worked in energy, but they want to go into finance. So we help direct them to companies like Exxon, for example.
Sure.
This is an energy company where that knowledge is valuable, and it's going to make it easier for them to get into the door there and then go into a finance career starting out like that.
It really enables them to build on what they've done in the past.
Exactly.
And Linda, another thing from a career management standpoint of view is in the beginning of the year, there's a lot of support for students that are undecided, if you will, or still trying to figure out what area of finance to go in. The Finance Club at Owen is extremely active, provides a lot of resources to their members. And then we as in the Career Management Center, do a Wall Street Week trek in between the first two mods. And, of course, we are visiting all of the big investment banks, but we also visit several companies that have corporate finance programs, such as J&J and Pfizer and some of those types of companies where there are corporate finance opportunities. So that's a really great trip for students going down the finance path to use and attend so that they can be fully informed as they move forward.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When Christy and I discussed an area of focus for today's conversation, Christy, you suggested that we highlight Owen's program in human capital management, known
mm-hmm.
at Owen as Human and Organizational Performance, or HOP.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, I had asked you to suggest an area of strength that is not widely known, and I think that's true here, but beyond granting my request, why did you suggest that specialty, and what exactly is the field of human capital management or human and organizational performance? Human capital management sounds a little bit, I don't know, a little Stalinist, you know, but...
It does, doesn't it? Talent acquisition and management sounds a little bit better, probably. It's one of the things that is very impressive about the Owen program, and we've been known for a long time for strength in finance and in marketing, especially brand management and operations. But the reason that we are so excited about the HOP program, as we call it, is because there's so many jobs out there to be had. And in a time when the economy
is wonderful to hear.
Yes, it is. At a time when the economy is not doing so well, students who are coming out of here, I mean, the executive director of the career office said, you know, if we had the entire class full of people majoring in HOP, they'd all have jobs.
Wow.
Because companies are literally banging at the door, and each of these students gets probably 2 to 3 offers. We've had to change the recruiting calendar so that the companies can come early to get to these HOP students earlier in the year before they're snapped up. They go into a variety of jobs, but let me tell you just a little bit about some of the coursework that the students do and why this program is so valuable. Part of it is they are going to be able to implement business strategies for the company as they work their way up. Some of the classes are going to be strategic alignment of human capital. So what does that mean? It means, where are you going to put the people, where are you going to invest your money into your human resources? And part of that is you need people who can diagnose your problems and find solutions. And this is what human capital management is all about. Then we've got, of course, the compensation classes. And the compensation is designed to motivate human performance. It's a reward system. So there are different sorts of reward systems out there, and there's a lot of research being done. Does it really work? Does it not work? What works best? So there's that. Then again, another one strictly on talent management. How do you identify the people out there? What techniques do you use to attract them to your company? How do you properly interview them to make sure you're getting the right people once they're there? Leading change is another class that I think is pretty exciting, because in the world that we live in now, things just don't stay static for more than probably 5 weeks at a time. We're all on an upward spiral of going, learning more and more and more, and we have to be ready to lead a change and corporate turnarounds and all that. This course is especially exciting because it's a practical hands-on class. In other words, the students do an audit about an organizational change. They do a simulation on a corporate turnaround, and they have lots of videos, speakers, case incidents, and then they also get feedback. So I think that one's really an exciting class for whether one is doing an HOP specialization or not. And then there's leadership theory and practice. We have our leadership development program, which is not part of this class, but something separate. Negotiation, which is critical. We're finding that some of the people who lead crisis management in corporations now need negotiation skills. And these tend to be the people in the HR area. Healthcare delivery, of course, that is a wholly different thing in the way that healthcare is being managed these days. We also have a class in executive coaching, training systems, and then finally there's a practicum, a capstone course, if you will, for those who want to go a little bit farther to understand the EEOC procedures. So the students would actually work in the National Office of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to understand the legal ramifications. They actually sit and do intake interviews and analyze cases and do write-ups on them, and may be involved in mediating disputes. So it's a semester long course, and it's limited to 3 students per semester, and you have to have permission of the instructor. So these are the people who are really the cream of the cream coming out of this program, who want to be involved in that sort of thing. And again, the jobs are there. People think about, when they think of HR, they think, okay, these are the little old ladies, little old gray-haired ladies sitting down in an office in the basement who are charged with getting out your paychecks, and that is so far from the truth now. We actually had a really interesting conversation with some of our faculty and other people involved in this about dispelling the myths of human resources.
Of the backwater of the corporation?
Exactly, because now these are the people who are traveling with the CEOs of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Entry-level jobs are fabulous now. Sandy can probably talk more to the salary range on them, but the starting salaries are in the 90,000 range now.
Mm-hmm.
And we fully expect that the trend for HOP salaries is up and expect that to be probably on parity with those in the financial field.
You know, if you think about it, with the economy turning more and more towards services,
mm-hmm.
your assets really are your people in a services business.
Exactly, and I think more companies are realizing that. If you've got people who have been performing there for a long time, they've got the history of the company in their heads. They have they know the culture of the company, and they serve as a touchstone for any new employees coming in. So these are the people who need to be developed and cared for and groomed and promoted to help deal with the new talent coming in. And the wise and savvy human resource manager can do that. And again, the people, the students coming out of our program are not just HR managers. They're actually going into consulting.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the majority of them are probably moving into consulting jobs in the human capital practice and as in transformation engagement services as well. Sandy, do you want to comment on that since that is your baby?
That was
absolutely. Yeah, certainly. Well, as Christy mentioned, I mean, there's just so much great momentum with the HOP program here at Owen. Just in the time that I've been here working with these students, it's not only reflected in the salary numbers going up for these roles, but also in the growth in terms of number of students in the program. Last year, or this year's graduating class, there are 9 HOP students that are graduating. And
so it's a fairly small program.
It's a very small program. And then this year, in the first year class, there are almost 20. So it's growing.
Oh, it's a growing program, too.
It's absolutely growing, which is great because there is a lot of demand for these individuals. So from a curriculum standpoint, you've got all of the great classes Christy mentioned. And then from an employer standpoint, we have a lot of great kinds of programs coming to recruit these students. So I would say that the HOP students at Owen are going into consulting, human capital consulting, as Christy mentioned. So thinking about things from a people perspective in a consulting role and being on a client site, how do change management strategies and initiatives and things that the company needs to do from a strategy standpoint impact the people of an organization and being able to really look at those business issues through that lens. There are also students going into corporate HR roles, and within that you have a lot of the human resources leadership development program. So companies that are recruiting for true business leaders out of the program, they're going in, they're rotating through various HR departments in the idea of being groomed to have a leadership role within the company. So these companies are really investing a lot of their time and recruiting dollars to get folks into these leadership development programs.
Mm-hmm.
This year alone, we had several new HR companies that came to campus. So American Express, which has a wonderful HR program, was on campus. Citi, J&J for their HR leadership development program, mm-hmm. HP for their leadership development program, Microsoft, Procter & Gamble. So they keep coming, and we keep saying we need more students in this specialization so that these companies will keep coming back. So it's really exciting.
Listener, I hope you're listening closely because there's opportunity here.
Yeah, there is. And the nice thing about being at a school like Vanderbilt is that our program is small, so you're going to get a lot of individual attention. And actually, interestingly enough, not many of the top MBA programs specialize in human and organization performance because people, you know, MBA students want finance and consulting, blah, blah, blah. But I think things are changing a little bit now. And again, our students in the HOP program are getting jobs in the finance area and in the consulting area. They're just in a different part of it.
Their
leadership roles, exactly. And, in fact, somebody was telling me that, Sandy, tell me if I'm telling the truth on this one, but I was told that the CEO of Procter & Gamble always travels with his director of global talent supply.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I mean, these companies that are coming here, you know, I mean, it's kind of an overused phrase, but it's true. These companies that are coming here to recruit HR MBA talent are really, you know, HR has a seat at the table. HR is a strategic partner. So these are really exciting jobs that have a very high level of exposure within an organization. And, you know, I think that that's part of the myth, one of the myths that was busted by our faculty at a recent presentation, but definitely very strategic level business roles.
Okay, now let's assume for the moment that we have, our listeners are now biting at the bit to apply to HOP, to Vanderbilt Owen and the HOP program. Christy, can you tell us a little bit about admissions at Owen? I know the basics, 175 people in the class, average age of 28, mean undergrad GPA of 3.37, mean GMAT score of 682. And I reviewed your admissions criteria, to which I'll include a link in the show notes, but they boil down to academic potential, your experience and goals, and your personal qualities and fit. Can you touch on each of these criteria, perhaps spending a little bit more time on the last two?
Absolutely. We are looking for great students, and great students come in all shapes and sizes and colors. I want a very, very diverse class here, diverse in the sense not just of gender or ethnicity, but also in professional background and educational background. So we don't have a huge percentage of people who are all coming from business. We've got a lot of people from engineering. We've got people who come from Teach for America. We've got people who have been lab scientists or interested in the healthcare program we have. And then we have the usual suspects, the consultants and the investment bankers and the people who've been in advertising who want to go into brand management because we've got a really strong program in that. So what we're looking for is at least somebody who's got professional experience, who's been in the business world, and understands a little bit how things work. Because coming into an MBA program with no work experience is like trying to drive a car when you've only read the manual. It just, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You have nothing to contribute because you don't have the experience level. And so I really want to encourage those people who are listening and who think, oh, I just want to go ahead and get this all over with and go to MBA right after I get out of college. That's not a smart thing to do. This is a very expensive decision, both in terms of time and money.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to know why you're doing it. And just getting through school is not a good reason. so I want people who have thought about what they really want to do with an MBA and that they understand what this can do for them. It is a transformative degree. It's probably the best investment you can make in yourself. Because it will allow you to do absolutely anything. You mentioned our curriculum earlier on the MOD system, where we have 7 weeks.
Yes.
And actually, one of the advantages of that program is that when our students go out to do their internship in the summer, they will have already had five elective courses, no, six elective courses, actually, in their area of specialization if they want to. So if they're changing careers, this is a huge advantage. They're going to have the basics of everything, marketing and economics and accounting and that sort of thing. But they can also start doing electives in the area of their specialization so that when they go in with their internship, they're ready to hit the ground running, and they know, and the companies are impressed with them. And I think, if I can find it, that figure, we had a record number of students who came back this year with offers from their internship, full-time offers from their internship, Sandy. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that figure was? Was it
It's around, it hovers around 40-ish percent each year of the students that come back, the percentage of the class that come back with an offer from their internship.
Right. So, I mean, this is one of the things that you're doing an MBA for. You want a job. So that's with that part. The professional experience is important. Obviously, you've got to be academically gifted to be able to get through the rigors of an MBA program, whether it's Vanderbilt's or anybody else's. And if they tell you you don't have to have a certain amount of quantitative knowledge, then they're just trying to take your money. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. You do have to have certain quantitative skills to be able to get through the program. Okay. Going into marketing sounds like fun if you think it's only just creative, coming up with creative ideas, but there's actually a lot of math involved in marketing and in human resource management as well. You've got to do forecasting and statistics and pricing comparisons and things like that. So,
Anyway. You don't want to fall into the trap of, I just like to work with people. Because there's a lot more to it.
There's a huge amount to it. So, you know, when people say, oh, well, I know I'm not really good. My GMAT score probably isn't what you want it to be. But I can tell you I will really work hard. Well, the reason we look at the GMAT score is because it's the common denominator amongst all others, all the students who apply. And the Graduate Management Admissions Council has proven that how well you do on the GMAT is a definite correlation with how well you do in the first year of the program. It doesn't mean you're going to be a successful business person, and it doesn't mean that you're smarter than the average bear, but it does tell you whether you can get through the first year.
Right.
So, bear, we're looking at that. But the big thing that a small program like ours looks for is fit. And this is such a slippery, subjective sort of thing to talk about. But, you know, let's talk about chemistry. If you go back to the days when you're dating, sometimes you go out with a frog, sometimes you go out with a prince. and so when you've got the chemistry, you know things are going to work. And if you want to be in a small program with a lot of very nice people who are more concerned about helping each other, but still with a competitive spirit, but not cutthroat in the least bit, this is a good place to be. It's also a very small program, so if you want to disappear into the woodwork, this is not the place to do that because people here are involved. So we're looking for people who are going to make this a better place when they leave it. We're looking for people who are going to be involved in the clubs, in helping us recruit, in helping us with weekend events when prospective students are coming to the campus. We're looking for people who are going to be active in the classroom, contribute their knowledge, start new clubs. And there's just every school has a personality, just like every student in every program has a personality. So it's of primordial importance that prospective candidates visit the schools they're applying to. Because I've had a lot of people come through here and say, well, you know, I wasn't planning on visiting Vanderbilt, but I happened to be in town, thought I'd come by here, and wow, I'm just blown away. Everybody is fabulous. The program is so impressive. It goes on and on and on. And then again, there are going to be people who come here and say, no, it's way too cooperative for me. I want all the glory. I want to do it all myself. And there are schools for people like that, too. That's why there's so many MBA programs out there.
True. Okay. We had you and I were talking before we started the formal show, and I had told you that I think this is somewhat related to your last answer, actually, about fit to a certain extent and the importance of experience and goals. I had told you both about my experience at the NBA Tour. I attended the NBA Tour in L.A. last week. It was a wonderful event, and a couple of people came up to me, and they had related comments. One said to me, "What do you think, Linda? Once you get outside the top 10, it really doesn't matter what program you attend, so you might as well just attend the least expensive one." One comment. And the other comment was, you know, it doesn't pay to get an MBA if you don't get it from the top 10. So I want to go to the top 10 or I don't want to go.
Well, I think I feel very sad for that person because, you know, I'd really like to have a Ferrari, but I can't afford it, so I've got a really good car that's going to get me where I'm going. And you get what you put into a program, basically. I would say any of the top 100 programs, rankings are, again, it's subjective. There are 50 different rankings out there. We rank anywhere from number 10 to number 30, depending on what you're looking at. So I think that you really cannot, you can use rankings as maybe your first pass at looking at what schools are out there. But the second thing needs to be, what do you want to do and where is the school that's right for what you want to do? Look at the companies that are recruiting there. That's what counts. And remember, not everybody's going to get into the top 10 schools. Harvard, for example, I think gets like 20,000 applications for 1,000 spots.
Roughly 10 applications for every spot.
Exactly. So what are your chances there? And you know, every school is selective on a certain level, but each school has a different outlook, and you've got to find the one that's going to be right for you. I always tell people, for example, if you want to go into heavy-duty energy industry where you need a strong petroleum background, you probably should look at the University of Oklahoma.
Sure.
Well, they're not ranked in the top 10, but if you want to get a job in petroleum engineering and consulting, that's where you're going to get a good education in that.
And mining, I think, is the University of Colorado.
Exactly. Mining is University of Colorado, University of Missouri.
Yes. If you want to go to hospitality management, Las Vegas.
Exactly. So, I mean, use this the way that the rankings are just meant to sell magazines, and we all know that. And the difference between number 1 and number 10 is very small. It doesn't mean the program is 10 times better. It means that somebody out there has decided, oh, well, their GMATs are higher, so they must be better. Well, yeah, you want to make sure you're in a program with people who are smart. So, I would look at what the GMAT average is. I would look at what the GPA is. But, again, that doesn't mean everything.
Right.
Look at where the people are coming from. Look at the backgrounds. Do you want to be in a school that has only engineers in their program? Do you want to be in a school that has only people from one country in the program?
Look where you want to go. And where are the graduates of this school going?
Exactly. You may have a really good program in your own backyard, and if that's where you want to stay, if you don't want to work in New York and you want to work in Denver, then, my gosh, there are great schools there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, any of the top 50 schools will get you where you want to go. We've all got connections to the firms in New York and the firms in California and the firms in Chicago. So I don't think any of the top 50 schools can be called regional schools. Maybe years ago that was the case, but it isn't now. There's a global marketplace out there.
Sandy, do you have anything you want to add, kind of from a career management perspective on this?
You know, I think I echo, of course, all of what Christy said so well, and just think that as far as Owen, I mean, I've worked here for nearly 8 years and just feel like it's such a unique place, and that the size of the program lends itself to so many collaborative types of activities. You really get to know your classmates so well, your professors well, the career management staff. It's really very collaborative in nature. It also lends itself to a lot of leadership opportunities. So you're getting this great MBA education, but you're also able to get really involved and make your own experience here. So I think it's a really unique combination that provides such a leaping pad for your career. And the alumni connectivity, Christy, I know that in admissions you all work with a lot of the alumni as you're doing these events across mm-hmm. the country, and it's a very strong alumni network, so that's another thing to think about too when you're looking at MBA programs.
And I can give you a little story to end that particular session on, and that is that a student that I was in contact with who had applied and was admitted ended up going to a higher ranked school. But while he was going through the process, he actually got to know a lot of the alums and current students in our program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he started his job search, he started contacting all the alums from his school, and he wasn't getting any callbacks.
Oh, wow.
So he ended up contacting some alums and current students he'd met at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he did not go here, they helped him make some connections to get a job.
Wow. That's impressive.
That's what I mean by nice people.
The generosity of spirit, really.
It is. It is. He admitted later that, well, you know, I probably should have been there. And that's fine, but that's water under the bridge. He's doing well. He's a lovely person. And even though he didn't go here, he's a big supporter of Vanderbilt.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Sure. Now, Christy, you've been an MBA admissions director since 2004, first at Tuck for many years and now at Vanderbilt. Sandy, mm-hmm. I'm guessing that you also must have started in career management at Vanderbilt. You said 8 years you've been there, so roughly the same time, maybe a little bit later. Can each of you share just one insight that you would really like MBA applicants to think about that you don't think they either think about enough ahead of time, or they don't understand well enough, they don't focus on enough before or in the application process or before they apply? Tell you what, Sandy, why don't you start?
Yeah, I mean, I think just as you're thinking about returning to business school or returning to graduate school, really having an understanding of, I think, where you want to go, you know, and why the degree makes sense for you, both personally and professionally, and why it's important to you, so that, you know, you have expectations that are realistic, and you've done homework and are making a good decision.
Okay. And Christy, do you want to add to that?
I would echo something very similar, because a lot of times I've been interviewing candidates recently who tell me they want to do this, and I say, why? And they can't give me a good reason. They haven't done any research on it at all, other than the fact that they've heard people who go into this field make a lot of money and get to travel a lot or whatever it might be. So I say, I tell them, look, there are a couple of websites you need to go out and look at so to find out what this job actually means.
Right.
So I'm going to tell your listeners mm-hmm. that in addition to researching the schools they want to apply to, they need to start researching the career opportunities that they mm-hmm. think they want to go into
mm-hmm.
and make sure they have the skill sets to go into it, because an MBA is not a magic wand.
Right.
And we can't turn the toad into a prince. We try really hard to make them not give off warts, but there are still some things that the student has to work for before they get here, and that is to understand what kind of job they want to do and why.
Right. Right. Well, that's a big theme of mine. And, you know, you were kind enough to give an endorsement for mine and Judy's book.
Yes, that first that chapter about figuring out what you want to do,
yes,
it should be required reading on every website.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm serious. I'm serious.
But, I mean, I think we just both firmly believe that before you invest $100,000 out of
pocket, exactly,
$100,000 in opportunity cost in 2 years of your life, you should have a darn good reason why you're doing it.
Exactly.
And does it make sense?
It doesn't make sense. I mean, you don't get in the car and drive for 15 minutes without having a destination.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yes.
Yeah. So, I certainly feel that's very important. All right, Christy, Sandy, this has been delightful. Thank you so much. I think our podcast is just about over. I mean, I could keep chatting with you for a lot longer, but I think our listener might get a little tired. How can people learn more about Owen Graduate School of Management or contact you if they have any questions?
They can go to our website at www.owen.vanderbilt.edu, click on the admissions, and all our contact information is there. I'm certainly happy to talk with anyone. There's a little menu that says Meet the Team. We're all there. Would love to have people come and visit us. You just need to contact our campus visit coordinators, and they will set up a scheduled visit for you. We love having people here. And I really do want to encourage people, as they're thinking about doing MBAs out there, to find the time to invest in a plane ticket or a train ticket or the gas mileage to go and visit the schools you're interested in. It is just very, very important. And we look forward to hearing from lots of people. And I want to thank you, Linda, for giving us the opportunity to talk with you and your clients.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Listener, I want to thank you, too, for participating remotely in Christy's and Sandy's and my conversation. One quick reminder, again, we really appreciate your feedback, particularly great reviews on iTunes. If it's not so great, the feedback I mean, please send it to Linda@accepted.com or leave a comment on the blog. Once again, thank you so much for joining us, Christy and Sandy. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted.com, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.